This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, November 29th. Most Mondays, I'm joined by Christopher Spencer, the creator and editor of the website OzarksUnbound.com, for conversations we call Unlicensed Opinion. This week, we invited Philip Martin, critic at large for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper, to join our discussion. He's also the driving force behind the website BloodDirtAndAngels.com. When we talked with Philip, he discussed the business of reviews, the role of the critic in the digital age, and we began the conversation talking about the bane of some spoilers. That is, details about an important plot twist in a movie, book, or TV show before a reader, viewer, or listener has had a chance to see or read the work.
What I try to do is I try to make every attempt not to ruin anything for, for a prospective viewer, and I understand that people are going to go to see this or see whatever, regardless of what I say about it, because I don't think reviews really, make up people's minds about it. Certainly aren't as powerful as TV advertising or trailers or anything like that. I think 90% of the time, people who are reading a review already know whether they're going to see the movie or not. But I try not to, I wouldn't tell you the end of the crying game now, I mean,
really?
It's almost 20 years. Yeah, if I was writing about it, I might allude to it, like the Secret or something, but I wouldn't see any need. Now, if you're writing about something like, Lost episodes, and I have a friend who does that for the Onion AV Club, maybe you do have to get into specific plot points, but generally, when I'm writing about a film, there's a lot I can talk about other than, then this happened and then that happened, and I'm sure that sometimes, I do talk about plot, and I'm sure sometimes I do say things that, maybe somebody wishes I hadn't, revealed. But, I'm really just trying to talk about the work in a way that, just say something interesting about it. I think that's the chief duty of a critic, is to find something interesting to say about the work being considered. So,
let's say you're writing a piece that includes discussion of Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet. Surely you feel okay with that.
Yeah, I think you could probably tell people that Hamlet's the one where everybody dies at the end. or actually, so is Romeo and Juliet. Well, not everybody in Romeo and Juliet. But, I think you can, I think that you can sort of assume that certain works, are in the collective conscious, and they sort of belong to this public domain where everybody who if you don't know about them, you should, and it's not going to ruin the experience for somebody. I wouldn't think twice about, talking about the end of To Kill a Mockingbird or something. And often, I will make jokes about spoiler alerts and stuff like that when things are so patently obvious.
Do you ever have, when you're reviewing something that's new, a plea from the distributor or the producer not to reveal something?
Yeah, that happens occasionally. I can't think of the last time it happened. But, and usually I have no problem. I've never had any problem abiding by that. I think that, and I didn't review this, so I think Cloverfield, they ask, not to, reveal exactly what happened. But, I have no problem, with that sort of thing. It doesn't happen as often. My sense is it doesn't happen as often as it used to. It's happened two or three times in the past, decade or so.
Have you ever got any feedback from any of your readers that said, "Hey, Philip, why'd you do that?"
I cannot remember.
Sure.
Ever having someone say that I told them something they wish they didn't know. I do remember writing a column, and this was going back to the crying game, where I had a conversation with an editor here about whether I should tell people, or whether I should reveal something about it. And it wasn't the big surprise anyway. I think it was because I was writing about, I'd written a column, I know what it was. I had written a column about gays, and that I had said something like, everybody knows gay people, even if they think they don't. And then I referenced Crying Game. And that was shortly after the movie came out. And I had an editor say, you know, you really want to say that? You know, because I you know, people don't realize that the Crying Game, you know, there ain't gay people in the Crying Game until, you know, the big reveal. And that's the only time I can ever remember it being an issue for me. But then again, you know, and you see how I write. I don't, you know, I don't really write a lot about what happens in a movie. In a perfect world, what we'd do, guys, is we'd go back to the old James Agee type model where the reviews would come out 2 weeks after the movies came out, and everybody would have seen the movie, and then we could write about it and sort of, you know, have a conversation about it, you know.
Sort of like what Pauline Kael used to do.
Exactly, like these longer, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-word reviews that, you know, talk, that bring in a lot of stuff. You know, but I'm generally writing 800, and I'm writing longer than almost everybody in the country on a regular basis. You know, and 800 to 1,000 words may be the limit I've got. And frankly, I find it really easy to write about most movies without, you know, getting any sort of dangerous area like that. Like I said, I just assume people have seen the movie before they read the review, but I understand, you know, the convention's not that way, and it's not practicable, you know. So.
Well, let me ask you then, because so often your reviews run the day something comes out, or sometimes even before a movie has hit wide release and made it to your Arkansas readership, what...
Yeah, that would happen a lot, I think, with you guys in Northwest Arkansas,
yeah,
especially, if you read the reviews online, because, you know, we will run them as soon. Yeah, yeah.
So what do you see as your, because I understand what you're saying. You'd like to have this conversation where we can all come together.
Sure.
But if you're writing for a readership that, even if it's a wide release movie, but it come, your review is in the Friday movie section, most people haven't seen it yet. What do you think about then you're trying to convey to the readers?
Well, I'm trying to give people enough information that they can make an informed decision about a film for themselves. And I'm also writing to an audience that has no intention at all of seeing the film, just likes to read movie reviews. And there are people like that. There are plenty of people I know that don't go to the movies but read my reviews, or they pick up the film, you know, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months down the line when it hits home video. And so I've got that two audiences in mind. First of all, I do want to provide enough information to people that are going to go see the film right away. And I also have in mind this sort of, you know, secondary audience, which basically smart people who know about movies. And in Arkansas, we have for whatever reason, you could do a show on this. For whatever reason, in Arkansas, we really do have a very considered audience for, you know, for like art house and independent films. And we also have the usual, you know, fanboy types, people that are interested in the next big releases, and you can have a really vital conversation about movies here with, you know, smart people, and which is probably one of the reasons why my newspaper has a dedicated Friday movie style section. Most places don't have that anymore, and a lot of places don't have a critic at all anymore. I mean, the critic in Atlanta is Roger Ebert, you know. Hmm. So yeah, we're sort of in a weird, interesting place. Anybody in the media here probably recognizes that, because people pay more attention to stuff here than they do in other places, and that's great for somebody like me, you know. But I think that, you know, with the way the environment is now, and home video is so prevalent, and everybody has cable, and everybody or at least has the option to seek these things out if they want to, I don't really feel so bad about writing about Finnish movies or Icelandic cinema, you know, because if you're interested in it, and there are people who are, you can find it and you can see it.
Well, I think the biggest source of spoilers, other than social media, because I know that if I haven't seen a show that I follow that could have developments, I will just not look at Facebook until I've seen that show. That, again, is on me. But the biggest source for things like cameos and certain twists tends to be the trailers for movies themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
certainly the funniest parts of the movie are oftentimes used in the trailers and ruin it for the rest of the movie.
Now I think I'm going to reveal something here. But of course, Mike Tyson is in The Hangover.
Right.
If I had not known that before I saw the movie, I think it would have been far more exciting, far more jarring, far more funny. But I found myself laughing and thinking, as entertaining as this movie might be, okay, now when does Tyson come?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a marketing tool, because more people might go see it because they want to see how they use Mike Tyson. But trailers are horrible about spoiling details.
Trailers are really interesting because usually they're put together by people who have absolutely no idea what the movie is about exactly. They just have, they just get, dailies sent to them, and they assemble it from these, they assemble it out of context. And that's why you often find things in trailers that don't, appear in the film, too, and it's very rare that a trailer that a director will have anything to do with the trailer for his film, which I think is just amazing. But you're right. They basically tell you the whole story sometimes, and reveal all the surprises and most of the good jokes.
All right.
Fantastic. Really good talking with you again.
You too. All
right.
Take care, guys.
All right. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Chris, Kyle. Bye.
Philip Martin is a critic for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can also read his takes on entertainment, culture, and society at the blog blooddirtandangels.com. There's more from our conversation, including a guide to when it's appropriate to reveal that plot twist from a movie, book, or even an opera, online at ozarksatlarge.com. And after this brief break, Christopher Spencer from ozarksunbound.com will be back for our weekly plug or predict segment. And we continue now with our conversation on this Monday, November 29th. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me from Ozarks Unbound is Christopher Spencer. Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
This is plug or predict time.
Yes, the time at the end of the show where we make a decision about whether we want to push something or we want to make some sort of prognostication about what we think is going to happen.
And I feel bad because I haven't made a prediction now for a couple of weeks, and I'm not going to this time.
Kyle, I've only made one prediction so far, and we don't even know whether it's going to come true or has come true yet.
So my prediction is I will have a prediction next week, but my plug.
That's not your prediction.
No.
Okay.
My plug is Thursday
that's
night.
That's weak sauce.
That is. Thursday night in Fayetteville at the Good Folk House, run by Mike Shirky, who also does the Pick and Post Saturday nights in KUAF. The Waymores, someone you might not have heard of, but it's Tom Kimmel, Don Henry, and Sally Barris, three great singer-songwriters on their own. They occasionally come together as the Waymores. If you like Americana, if you like clever and smart lyrics and great playing, I would suggest the Waymores Thursday night. They've had songs covered by Ray Charles, Johnny Cash, Joe Cocker.
Auguste Company.
Yes. So anyway, the Waymores, it's a rare chance to see them in Fayetteville Thursday night at Good Folk House on Block Street. Goodfolk.org for more.
Well, so I thought I would actually plug something thematically appropriate to our last segment, and that is a video that I uncovered as I was doing research on this topic of spoilers. It's a group called the Fine Brothers. It's just two guys.
F-I-N-E.
S-F-I-N-E. Sitting in front of a camera. This one is 100 movie spoilers in 5 minutes, and literally they go through, they got the clock, the countdown clock, and they're busting out just the end of movies. They have a whole series. They have Movie Spoilers Oscar Edition per year. They've got 50 Disney movie spoilers. Anyway, I'm probably going to link to it on my post on Ozarks Unbound.
Christopher, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
You can read about Ozarks events, culture, and more at ozarksunbound.com.